Well, I think a lot of us can probably say yes to this. Do we often get anxious? According to the Anxiety and Depression Association of America, a September 2023 study found that 40 million adults suffer from anxiety disorders in the United States. That's over 19% of the total population. And another phenomenon that's developing is between 18 and 24-year-olds, 50%, half, experience symptoms of anxiety regularly. So that means that many of us most likely also face these same symptoms of anxiety. What things typically bring on feelings of anxiety for you and I? It's hard to not to worry about the future of this country. Every time we turn on the television, we see that we have more enemies on the world stage than we had, and they seem to be banding together in a way that we haven't seen since before the Second World War. The military can't really find sufficient applicants. They're about 15,000 short in their recruiting goals last year, so they dropped the recruiting goals in order to avoid looking like they can't field the army that they know they need to field. There's disruption domestically. Protests over the Middle East, border issues. The general morality of the nation is heavily polarized today over issues like abortion and marriage and gender definitions. There's economic stress. I think we're all feeling that. I get a report of how few groceries come back from the store for how much money. And it seems like that just is continuing in that direction. Possibly never before has there been a presidential election where each candidate was so hated by the other candidate's constituents. What will November bring? How about personally? Is your job overwhelming you at times? Does it seem like the activities and the pace of life is unrelenting at times? Do you just wish you could go on vacation? I do. What about our relationships? Is everything running smoothly with our spouses, our kids, our bosses, our coworkers? Do we experience stress and anxiety in our personal relationships? What about in our relationship with God? Is there peace there? Or do we feel like there's distance? If we are experiencing anxiety regarding any of these causes, what can we do to help manage that anxiety? Today, I'd like to look at how to better manage anxiety in our lives. We'll look at what can cause or add to the root causes of our anxiety, and we'll look at how we can combat it more effectively. We covered some of the concerns that cause anxiety in the introduction, but many of our anxieties stem from really a handful of root causes. The first root cause of anxiety is if we become overly concerned about the physical, the stuff that goes on around us. We cannot help but pay attention to the physical because, like I said, it's all around us. You can't get away from it. Every moment there's something going on. And we are physical. We need to eat regularly. We need to make a living. We need to pay our bills. We also need to handle the vast details that come with being physical. However, we are more than physical. God has wonderfully shared with us the spiritual. As a result, we are called to think in a way that's different, in a way that most do not. Let's see this by turning to Colossians 3, verse 1. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Our lives are called to be different than everyone in the world. We were raised with Christ out of the baptismal grave into a new life. That new life's focus has to be fixed on Christ. If we spend too much of our time and energy on the physical, neglecting the spiritual, then we will feel a lack of internal peace because we're not making our life hidden with Christ. That lack of internal peace makes us anxious regarding the physical. Turn with me to Luke 12, verse 29, if you would, please. Luke chapter 12, verse 29. And just prior to our verse, Jesus is talking about worry here. Luke 12, 29. And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. So becoming anxious about our physical needs happens when we focus too much on our physical needs. Our focus, we're called to have a different focus on the kingdom of God. God knows what our physical needs are, and He promises to provide them for us. He promises to provide for those needs if we are seeking and have our focus on the spiritual. Let's see the need to focus on the spiritual over the physical again by turning to Romans 8, verse 5. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Paul is discussing walking in the Spirit just prior to our verse here. Romans 8, 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. When we have our focus on God and the spiritual, we are tuned in to what brings eternal life to us in the long run. And it brings us peace in the short term. When our focus is overly fixed on the things of this physical life, we endanger more than our actual peace. We can actually set ourselves on a track that can lead to destruction. This all was also the warning of the parable of the sower. We're probably familiar with the parable of the sower. The seed that fell among the thorns had its life choked out because of the desire for other things, we're told. The desire for other things are the physical lures of this world. Cares are mentioned there. Cares are the business and tasks of everyday life. They can easily consume our time and prevent us from focusing on the spiritual. The deceitfulness of riches is mentioned there. We can work so hard and strive so much to get ahead that we can forego our spiritual responsibilities. Luke records the desire for other things. He defines it as pleasures of life. We can put our pursuit of what is fun or entertaining at the center of our life. And that's more common today than ever before, with as many outlets as there are to spend time entertaining ourselves. Misplacing our focus on the physical over the spiritual can cause us to be carnally minded, and being carnally minded ends in eternal death. It also, in the short term, can cause anxiety. The next root cause that can cause anxiety is when we become overly focused on self. Let's see this by turning to James 3, verse 13. James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. James tells us that confusion is created when self-seeking is our approach. Confusion, according to Thayer's Bible Dictionary, means instability, a state of disorder, or a state of disturbance. That sounds a lot like anxiety, doesn't it? When our focus is on self, then we will inevitably get involved in conflicts with others. James says, where do our wars come from? Our desires. When we place our desires ahead of others, then we are self-seeking. We elevate our wants and needs above others, and this creates mental conflict. Conflict is the absence, of course, of peace. Conflict with others, or our lack of peace with others, also is a root cause of anxiety. When we're not right with others, it causes us unrest in our inner being. This is especially true with our mates. Paul tells us in Ephesians not to let the sun go down on our wrath. Carrying over anger creates a fracture in a relationship. And that fracture, if it's not brought back together, widens and widens if there is no resolve. Living in a state of no resolve creates anxiety. The same is true in any human relationship. If you are not right with someone and you pass by them, I'm quite sure you're going to have anxiety when that happens. That's why Paul says, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all. Relationships that are not right are a root cause of anxiety. Another root cause of anxiety, this would be number four if you're numbering them, is when we are separated from our Creator. As we heard on Pentecost from Mr. May, from Isaiah 59, our sins separate us from God. We can also separate ourselves from God by neglecting Him. So when we do so by either means, that should naturally create anxiety in us because we're built and we're made to be one with God. It should create a yearning in order to reconcile ourselves to God once again. Let's see this with David's anxiety and his separation from God in Psalm 38. Psalm chapter 38. David has just asked God to chasten him, not to chasten him in his hot displeasure for his sin. Psalm 38, verse 3. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, nor any health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head, so that's guilt he's talking about here, like a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are full of inflammation. and there is no soundness in my flesh. I'm feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil in my heart. Lord, all my desires before you, and my sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pants, my strength fails me. As for the light of my eyes, so this would be the happiness or the joy or the brightness of his life, it is also gone from me. The turmoil that David was feeling was also translated as disquietness. When we are at peace, there's quiet inside of us. And when we are anxious, there is disquietness. David was disquieted or had great anxiety because his sin had temporarily separated him from God. And this feels like it was more of a fracture than it was of an immediate thing, to where that distance had grown. David needed to be reconciled to God in order for his anxiety to be quieted. And the same is true for us if we bring sin between ourselves and God. We need to make peace in our relationship with God in order to restore peace to our minds. We can also bring on anxiety on ourselves in our relationship with God by neglecting God. If you recall the story of King Saul, sinned by not killing all the Amalekites as he was supposed to. Through Samuel the prophet, God told Saul that the kingdom would be torn away from him. Remember, because he tore at Samuel's robe and a piece came off of Samuel's robe. Saul referred to God as the Lord your God to Samuel, implying that Samuel had the relationship with God and that Saul did not have a personal relationship with God. Saul continued to act as king, even though Samuel had privately anointed David as the next king. So that makes an awkward transition, which of course we're familiar with there. Let's see how Saul was distressed by lacking a personal relationship with God. Let's see this by turning to 1 Samuel 16, verse 14. 1 Samuel 16, verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said to him, surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. So this could be, in this situation, most likely this is an actual spirit, but Satan can affect us through attitudes and emotions, and he can bring on a distressing spirit to us as well. Verse 16, let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp. And it shall be that he will play it with his hand when the distressing spirit from God is upon you, and you shall be well. Of course, this was from God, so God's hand and approval was on this happening. Verse 17, so Saul said to his servants, provide me now a man who can play well and bring him to me. Then one of the servants answered and said, look, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person, and the Lord is with him. That probably was alluring to Saul as well, because the Lord was not with him. God allowed a distressing spirit, as we said, to come upon Paul. And I'm sure there were many demons that were excited to volunteer for that role, to come and torment the king of Israel. I'm sure Satan, as I said, is looking to do the same for the same opportunity with us, to trouble our minds if he can as well. When we are not close to God, our mental state becomes more vulnerable to the prince of the power of the air. Allowing distance to grow in our personal relationship with God opens us to increased anxiety. Restoring closeness reduces that anxiety. Saul went as far as to try to speak to the deceased Samuel. If you remember, he went to a medium to try to ask advice or direction or see the future from Samuel, even though after Samuel was dead, because Samuel had the connection with God. The next root cause of anxiety is trials and difficulties. I know you know. I'm sorry, I don't know about you, but when something goes wrong, I'm usually the guy that says, oh great, why does this have to happen to me, and why does it have to happen now? It doesn't take too long, large of an obstacle to set off anxious thoughts in my mind. Major trials and difficulties can extremely challenge our state of mind. When we have a lingering illness or an injury or our mental state is affected. In those times, we will have woe is me moments, or woe is me days, or sometimes woe is me even longer. In those times, we have to remember that trials, even severe ones, are part of God's plan. They do not come to derail our journey to the kingdom. They come in order to prepare us to be part of the kingdom. Let's see this by turning to James 1, verse 2. James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, notice that word, lacking nothing. Remember, Jesus tells us in Matthew 5:48, therefore you shall be perfect, as a future event. We're all going to be perfect when we are part of God's kingdom, when we're spirit. Perfect means you shall become perfect, as I said, or it also means complete. We cannot enter the kingdom of God without testing. And that testing works in us to make us complete, ready to enter the kingdom. Let's drop down to verse 12 to finish James' thought on this matter. James 1:12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Temptation is the same word there as trials in verse 2. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. We endure trial in order to become approved. When we become approved, we're eligible now for eternal life. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 4, verse 12 said, Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. Peter was not talking about the type of trials that we have commonly in life today, such as injury or illness or the death of a loved one. He was talking about actually being persecuted with bodily harm for God's sake. None of us has yet to endure that type of trial. No one here has had their life threatened, I don't believe, or their life of their family threatened because we believe in God and his word. Peter was telling people in his letter not to be surprised when that starts happening to them. That puts some perspective on the personal trials that we're enduring in our lives today. We cannot allow ourselves to be knocked off track of the road to eternal life because of the trials we face. We have to understand our trials are actually part of the path that leads to eternal life. The final root cause of anxiety I want to discuss today is losing sight of hope. When we face situations that cause us anxiety, it often becomes difficult to see past what's immediately in front of us. Our vision narrows and fixates on what we see in front of us. In order to overcome that obstacle and avoid the anxiety that it causes, we need to remember the long view of what lies ahead. Now, I'm not a golfer. I golf once a year only because I get dragged out by my coworkers at work in our small little office. There's four of us. But when you stand on the tee box, if you're familiar, you have a nice long view of the hole ahead. You know, the fairway, maybe a curve to the left, a curve to the right. Somewhere out there is a pin, and it's on a little green. And, you know, that's where I'm supposed to be going. So then you get on that tee box, and then you tee off. And what usually happens? Inevitably, the ball goes off into the rough behind a tree. So this happened to me. I'm not willing to say how many times. But there was one instance where I took a couple clubs. I thought, all right, I'm going to take a club. Because I thought I was much farther down the path on that hole than I was probably 250 yards out still at that point, if you know what that looks like. It's a long way. And I brought a club that maybe should be hit at about 130 yards out. And I decided I'm going to try to go over this tree. But I couldn't see even where that little pin was and that nice little green. I had lost complete sight of that. Had no idea, but I thought if I just go over this tree, this giant obstacle right in front of my face, then maybe I can get to where I can see again. Well, twice into the branches and down, finally I got out to the fairway, and then I could once again see ahead. That gives us vision, and we have to keep that vision of that hope. When we get off the fairway into the rough and we cannot see because of that thing in front of us, we just need to get back onto the fairway so that we can recover that vision of where we're headed. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The NIV translates verse 18 there as, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. We need to not fix our eyes on that big tree of difficulty ahead of us that stands before us. We have to look beyond that obstacle and have the vision of hope to move ahead past it. Let's see how having hope reduces anxiety and brings peace. Please turn with me to Romans 15, verse 13. Romans chapter 15, and verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God is defined here by Paul as a God of hope. He has set great things ahead for us to have hope in. We have our eyes fixed on that hope ahead through belief in God's plan for us. That belief and vision of the future brings us peace, and it reduces anxiety. Part of being able to have hope is trusting in God and trusting that the vision of the future is real. Let's see God's mind towards us even when we err. Please turn with me, if you would, to Jeremiah 29, verse 10. Jeremiah 29, verse 10. The nation of Judah had been forcibly taken off their land here and relocated into captivity to Babylon. They were taken because they had violated the covenant they made with God. That was a promise he made. If you violate, if you do this, then this is going to happen, if then. But God still had a plan for them. Jeremiah 29:10. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, that's a long trial, 70 years, I will visit you and perform my good work toward you and cause you to return to this place, come back to Jerusalem. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from the places where I've driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. So he caused that here. We can see that. God caused that. Well, the actions of the nation of Judah required God to act, but God was going to bring things right again. So even when Judah had to be corrected here by God in a severe trial, God still loved them. God still had a hopeful future for them. Even when we mess up, and if God is correcting us through a trial, which will happen from time to time, he is bringing us through it so that he can give us a future of hope and peace. We need to have this vision when we face obstacles that cause anxiety. So we've looked at some major root causes of anxiety, being overly focused on the physical, overly focused on self, separation from God, separation from people, trials, and loss of hope. Now let's look at some methods that God gives us to overcome those root causes. In Colossians 4, verse 2, Paul says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. This is the first major step in dealing with our anxieties. First, we take our worries, our concerns, and our troubles to God, and we ask his involvement in that trouble. But once we get that trouble off of our shoulders, we're lightened, our burden is lightened by going to God with it, we bring our minds past our trouble and focus then on being thankful for all that God has done for us in our lives already. It's from this mindset of thankfulness that we are able to take a breath from our troubles and view the big picture. Let's see this 1-2 combination of prayer and thanksgiving prescribed again by turning to Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Initially, when I was doing my research for this, I thought, you know what? If you read the book of Philippians, I would say probably half of the material, you could apply it to anxiety. It has a connection point. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication being petitioning, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The very act of surrendering one's will to their Creator is liberating. It means the pressure's off of us to have to figure out every little thing. It frees you and I the burden of doing it alone. It allows, also shows God that we do not want to go forward without his direction. Peace is the result of prayerful unity with God. Peace that guards our hearts and minds against becoming troubled or frantic. The next method God gives us to overcome the root cause root causes of anxiety is to focus on the needs of others. Let's see this by turning back to Colossians 3, but now Colossians 3, verse 12. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Earlier we saw that one of the root causes was being overly focused on self. Colossians 3, 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. That's an outwardly focused action, putting on tender mercies. Kindness, that's again to others. Humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and the peace of God, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful, throwing that in at the end as well. So above all, put on love, we're told here. Love is outward concern for other people. Focusing on the well-being and the betterment of others takes the focus off of ourself. And it takes our mind off our problems and focuses our empathy on the needs and problems of others. And that creates peace in us. The next time we're feeling anxious, try this. This is a take-home assignment, if you will. Next time we're feeling anxious, when we go to God, instead of just going to Him right with our problem or whatever the immediate thing is that's causing us distress, flip it around and just start praying for other people. There's such a list of people dealing with sufferings and needs. And if you do that, and if you really go through everyone you can think of, by the time you get around to your problem, it doesn't seem quite as big. And it puts you in a mindset, different mindset, when you're dealing with God about your problem. The next method God gives us to overcome anxiety is to dwell on the positive. Let's go back to Philippians 4, verse 6, and we'll reread 6 and 7, and we'll add a verse here. Philippians 4, 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. There's so much going on today that is unjust, impure, lacking virtue, bad reports of terrible things that go on. If we focus our minds on these things, it's impossible not to become anxious. Instead, we have to find the positives that we can focus on. Find the things that we can find praise in. If our dog does four bad things and then one good thing, we have to say, good dog. We can't sit there and think about the four that he did bad. Instead of focusing, that focus is a choice. I'm not saying it's a choice I'm good at, but it's a choice we need to make to overcome anxiety. Because I go to bad dog more than I go to good dog. The last word there is to meditate. When we are anxious, it's easy for our minds just to start running, to go from thing to thing to thing. And we can get into a sinking feeling. And that sinking feeling feels like it's getting worse, it's getting deeper, it's getting wider if we let our mind continue to run. Instead of letting our minds run next time, instead let's try to slow down that thinking and meditate. Meditate here means to take inventory. We can take inventory of our blessings. We can take inventory of how far we have come in our journey with God. We can take inventory of the promises that God provides us and has given us, and of the destination of where our journey leads. Let's drop down to Philippians 4:10 to see the next method God gives here. Philippians 4:10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard of need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, that means brought low, humiliated. And I know how to abound. That's the superabound I talked about a couple weeks ago, to excel, to be in abundance. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Many times our want for things can cause anxiety within us. We can want something, or we can really need something, and we can worry about how we're going to get it. God promises to provide for our needs. Christ said, your Father knows you need these things. So while we wait for him to provide our needs, we continue about our Father's business, seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. We settle into contentment with the things we do have already. Being content takes the angst out of trying to figure out the how and the when. It gives the problem to God to work out in his time and in his way. Let's see the next method God gives by turning to Philippians 3, verse 12. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I have already attained, speaking of the resurrection here, or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Too often we can torture ourselves over things in the past that we have said or that we have done or that have happened to us. We can also be tortured by what others have said or have done to us. Or we can hold those things against others, which creates unrest within us and in our minds. We're told here to forget, to lose those things out of our mind. Instead, moving forward, letting the baggage of the past go, with our focus on God's upward, or as the King James Version calls it, high calling. The final method or instruction that we will cover today is, do not stress about tomorrow until tomorrow. Let's see that by turning to Matthew 6, verse 25. Matthew 6, verse 25. We sang about the lilies earlier. I had to smile when that came on. Matthew 6, 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to your stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Spin means spinning thread, making their own clothes. They don't have to make their own clothes. They don't have to worry about that. Verse 29, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek after. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And then here, let's focus on verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Worrying or being anxious does not help us grow into the person that God wants us to be. God upholds the entirety of his creation, down to the smallest things that we can't even see with the naked eye. He provides and solves problems for the birds, for the flowers, for the grass, and he concerns himself with all these things. You and I are like God's precious jewels. He knows our needs very well. So he tells us not to stress about tomorrow. He tells us to keep our focus on today, one step at a time. If our focus is too far ahead of us, if our vision is way out there and we're walking along, that's when we fall into a ditch. And that ditch can be anxiety. Brethren, in this day and age, we possibly have more to worry about than at any other time in history. Used to be all you had to worry about is hunting and gathering and making a fire and surviving the saber-toothed tiger, possibly. Well, today we've looked at six different root causes of anxiety. We can become anxious when we become overly concerned about the physical, overly concerned about self, become separated from God by sin or by neglect, when we become separated with other people, when we encounter difficulties and trials, and when our vision and hope is blocked by that big nasty tree. Today, we've also looked at six different methods that God gives us to overcome these root causes of anxiety. He gives us prayer and thanksgiving. He encourages us to focus on the needs of others instead of self. He recommends thinking on those things that are good instead of dwelling on the things that are negative. God encourages us to be content with what we have in our situation instead of fixating on what we want or what we might like to have. We're told to look forward and not to dwell on the past or the things that happened yesterday. Finally, we're not to be troubled by what tomorrow holds, instead focusing on today as we seek God's kingdom. When we become troubled in our minds with anxiety, let's remember that the obstacles we face are temporary. This life is passing away. God has an eternal plan that we are a part of. Regardless of the size or scope of the trial or difficulty that we're facing, God will bring us through because he has thoughts of peace toward us to give us a future and a hope.